You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. This is the Zany Mystic, otherwise known as Lance White, and I'm back on track. I'm well this week. I'm sorry I missed y'all last week, but even my archive shows are hopefully still entertaining. Tonight, my guest is Bill Austin. Bill Austin is a spiritual healer, teacher, artist, writer, and visionary living in St. Petersburg, Florida, I believe, in the United States, although I didn't have to tell you that. Anyway, he has been on the spiritual path for over 18 years now and has been working as a full-time spiritual healer for over 6 years. He founded Practical Mastery and Angelic Mastery spiritual healing modalities and has helped hundreds of people, probably thousands, if not more, people around the world. So let's meet Bill right now by saying hello to him. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Lance?
Pretty good. I'm doing all right. I was just reviewing your artwork and your book and all that and just admiring the beauty of it. And maybe we should start out by having you tell everybody, give everybody a little bit of your background and, you know, where you came from. How did you discover spirituality and what were you doing before then and what prompted you to turn in this direction?
Well, I guess I have a fairly normal childhood. I grew up in Central Virginia. My father was a school teacher. My mother was a nurse. I had a very traditional sort of life. I went to William & Mary for college, graduated in 83 with a degree in economics, worked several years as an economist for the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Oh, wow.
And then I decided that, like,
That's interesting.
And then I decided to enter law school in an act of total insanity because this was about like in 1987 and during that time, I write a little bit about this in the books, but during that time, harmonic convergence or concordance or one of the two was going on and it really put my life in disarray. I developed a severe insomnia, had a lot of problems and doctors really couldn't help. So I graduated from UVA Law School, which is a very good law school, without a job, broke, back problems, all sorts of things, and ended up in Philadelphia, where the legal market promptly collapsed as soon as I got licensed with the Pennsylvania Bar. It was a very rough time in my life, but I lost a lot of my credence in doctors. I tried a lot of things for insomnia and it didn't work. And I took up meditation and I had my first mystical experience in the early months when I was living in Philadelphia as well. I was coming back from D.C. to Philadelphia on the bus and I had this like mystical opening in a way, and it felt like 100,000 watts of love entered a 10-watt battery. Mm. And I thought I was going insane with the sleep deprivation and stuff, and didn't talk about it for a long period of time, but I guess it was like my first awakening, really, to the path I ended up walking. Mm. And I've been on, that was like in the early 1990, and I've been on this path for a long time. I was on a spiritual path for about 10 years before I began hearing the call to heal. Mm. And I really blew it off because I didn't really want to do that. I mean, most of the healers I knew who did energy work, they dressed very funny. They're very poor and very strange people. So, yes. I had a very conventional job at that time. I was working for the state of Colorado. Part of my job, I was the system administrator for the office. I was also doing program management, a little bit of project management, a little bit of buying. I did a lot of different things. I've had a lot of different careers in my life. When I first heard the urge to heal, I really sort of blew it off and hoped it would go away, and it really didn't go away. It got stronger and stronger. So I caved in and did my first energy healing class, I think, sometime in early 2000.
Okay.
And for the first 2 years, I was working for the state and doing my healing practice at night, and then I decided that I started getting the urge that I needed to begin doing it full time. So I quit my regular job in June of 2003, and for a couple of years I sort of coasted. I was doing other people's modalities and doing very well, helping promote other people's work in a way. And then all the stuff I began working on didn't work anymore for me, and it put me in sort of a crisis. So then I ended up bringing in my own modality. I began out with practical mastery and moved on from there. So that's sort of a long answer to that question. But,
I like that because I want you to do most of the talking tonight.
No, that's your job. You're supposed to be good at this. You're the expert.
Oh, that's just a bunch of you-know-what. Just kidding.
Ah, okay.
So you developed your own techniques, because I found that has occurred to me, too, that some of the things that I do to connect spiritually, sometimes they just stop working. And then it's like, well, wait a minute, this has worked for 20 years, why isn't it working now? Well, something's changed, and it doesn't work anymore. Just accept that and find some new way. You don't have to follow somebody else's path. You can invent your own. And so, you know, you have to keep reinventing or reconnecting with new ways to heal yourself and to connect to your own source, I think.
Yeah, and I always knew that I was supposed to bring in my own stuff and do my own stuff, but I was doing so well promoting other people's stuff. I was not very inspired to bring in my own stuff. And you go through that when you bring in your own stuff. It's very common to go through that whole doubt thing. Oh, it's my stuff. Is it as good as other people's stuff?
Oh, exactly.
And, you know, all that doubt and self-sabotage. But the way I also do the thing, Lance, is most of the modalities I learned were anchored in what I call the mental paradigm, the paradigm of the mind.
Uh-huh.
And Earth has entered what I call the paradigm of the heart, the higher dimensions. And
okay.
A lot of the modalities, I was moving out personally from the mental paradigm to the paradigm of the heart. And so a lot of the stuff that was tied to the mental paradigm didn't work for me anymore because that wasn't where my heart was anymore.
Oh.
And I also had contracts to bring in my own stuff, and it's been very nerve-wracking at times bringing in my own stuff, but also very fulfilling as well.
Well, isn't that a process of aligning with your own soul's contract or intent prior to incarnating? Or is that
I think we have a lot of different things we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people talk about, like, contracts with the Creator to do certain things, and I came in with a lot of different skills and stuff, and I had no idea what I'd be doing. No one, when I incarnated, like I was born in 1961, and no one on the inner planes really thought that Earth would ascend, they thought Earth would ascend, but they didn't think humanity would choose to ascend with the planet.
Uh-huh.
So, there are a lot of different flexibility in contracts and stuff, and when I work with clients a lot, I work with very highly evolved teachers and healers and clients. I mean, a lot of times, I find when I look at them and their lives that the contracts that they're doing are not the contracts that are aligned with their highest good at this time. You know, new stuff comes in, but we like to cling to the old because it's safe and acceptable.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
And every time I try to do something like that, I get just really hammered by the universe because, my God self plays really hardball with me.
Yes, I know a little bit about hardball.
I gather from your book, you definitely have had some very interesting life experiences.
Well, yes, to say the least. and since you mentioned my book, I will mention to the listeners, whoever is interested out there, that it is available on Amazon.com, and you can go and read reviews of it. It's called Tales of a Zany Mystic by Lance White, L.B. White. You can go to Amazon.com and check out the reviews and see if it's something you'd be interested in purchasing and finding out why this is such an interesting book. Well, anyway.
Well, everyone's path is really interesting. I mean,
I think so too, yeah. And you get to hear other people's paths, and plus, you connect at a higher level, don't you?
Well, everyone connects at a higher level. I mean.
Yeah, but I don't read people. You can. I mean, I can't tell you what your higher path would be, but you probably would be able to tell me what mine might be if you really intended.
I guess
to.
I don't really. That's an interesting question. I have a lot of psychic intuitive gifts, but I also see how much people can change.
Uh-huh.
Like when I look at psychic realities or read or whatever you want to say, I mean, I see a lot of different probable futures. And when I work with clients, if they choose to drop a belief system and adopt a new belief, you know, it's almost like everything gets slid to the slide and whole new realities come in. So, I don't really do psychic readings because I have a great faith in people's ability to change their future.
Uh-huh.
And I also found that, like, so many people on the spiritual path give away their power to psychics.
Oh,
It's a very, very, very frustrating thing for me, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of times people, I really think that people are meant to go within their heart to get their answers. And a lot of times people get their answers and then the psychic doesn't agree and then they drop their heart. This whole experiment is, life is very, very interesting. You never know what will happen in life. I never dreamed I'd be doing radio show interviews. But I think I'll go back to what I was talking about. I really think that this time, each person is an aspect of God Creator, and it's really important for people to connect with who they truly are and to listen to the wisdom that's deep inside themselves. And sometimes it takes, most people don't live authentically. We've gotten into the habit of pleasing other people or looking outside ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just really important to go within and get your answers from within.
I totally agree with you on that one. But, you know, it takes such a long time to get to that place. And then sometimes, you know, self-doubt is the killer. That, you know, when you doubt yourself, when that little seed comes in, and well, I wonder if somebody else knows more, every time I go with somebody else's solution, I'm always making the wrong choice. And it always becomes obvious, and it's like, okay, well, you knew this was going to happen, Lance. This is another validation that you need to listen to yourself.
What you do, Lance, is you begin with small steps. Like, if you want to begin getting guidance, don't ask the $50 million question. Ask the 5-cent question. What feels better to eat dinner to lunch today? Don't ask, what in the world am I going to do with my life? Because the plan constantly changes, and you constantly change, and the answer constantly changes. But you begin with small things and work up. But you build your confidence on, what does my stomach want to eat right now? Before you answer the question of what am I supposed to do on this silly world that we live in.
Very nice. I like that. And that's kind of the direction I've gone in. And it seems like the answer just kind of shows up. And if I just go with the flow and don't think about it and come from, I guess it would be the heart, or the intuition. I don't know where you would want to place
Like when you ask a question, usually the first answer you get is right because the mental body doesn't screw it up.
Yeah.
You know, when you ask, like you immediately get a sense of where something is or isn't aligned with you, but then you doubt it because the mental body and the ego mind are great at the self-sabotage and the doubt and all that stuff.
Oh, they love to throw monkey wrenches into everything. So usually, like you said, I find my first gut reaction is the right one, and then my mind will start giving me all the reasons why not. So I know that that's not what I should listen to, so I just let the mind rattle on and say, thank you for sharing, and next.
And that's one of the gifts of meditation. When I began out on the spiritual path, I meditate a lot, and I didn't pray very much at all. Now I pray a lot, and I don't meditate much at all, but the whole practice of meditation helps to still the mind so you can get more clear guidance. The other really important thing, I think, for people who want to make changes in your life, don't make huge changes. Make baby changes.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, don't try to, you know, that's what gets people on so many things like losing weight or whatever, is people try to leapfrog, you know, make a huge change in their lifestyle that they can't really sustain.
So it's really
important to be kind to yourself and to be loving and gentle.
And to honor who you are, sort of. Yeah. You mentioned something that I want to kind of segue back into, because it's one of the topics that interests me the most, and I think most of the listeners are extremely interested in. And so I'm going to ask you about this. You mentioned that that you discovered that the Earth was in the ascension process, and you discovered also that humanity had made the decision to be a part of that process. Now, one of my guests has claimed that all of humanity had somehow met on another planet or another plane and had all agreed to ascend with the planet. Other people say, you know, have other versions of it. There's a law of one material that says that, you know, people will choose where they want to go, and et cetera, et cetera. Would you mind sharing what your understanding is of the Earth ascension process as it relates to us as humans?
Well, I think that Earth has been a school of humanity. I think I sent you a little thing I did about living in the world of infinite potentiality. I believe this planet was created as a school for unconditional love, for humanity to learn how to love themselves, others, and spirit unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the planet is moving into that stance where it's time for the planet to evolve. Everything has consciousness in this universe. And the planet's decided to evolve into a higher, the higher dimensions or whatever. But for humanity, you know, we each make decisions each day. Like, you know, and what I like about A Course in Miracles is, you know, it says that, like, there are basically two emotions, love and fear. And each moment we choose between love and fear. And ascension to me is choosing love rather than reacting from fear.
Okay. Does the 2012 timeline have anything to do with the ascension process, or is that something entirely subjective, and are people making too much of a date? By claiming that the Mayan calendar
My take on this, and I don't, my work doesn't directly involve 2012, so I don't view myself as a quote expert, unquote. And whatever I say, I ask each person to go within their heart and to resonate whether it's true or not. I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter what I say, it's what you feel that really matters. But about 2012, I think there's no doubt in my mind that that's going to be a significant shift date for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of fear around 2012, and I think in a lot of ways 2012 has become a shell game in the New Age world. And by that I mean it sort of distracts people from, people focus on a point in the future, whereas regardless of what happens on 2012, we build it moment by moment in the now. Our power lies in the now. It doesn't lie in 2012. It lies right now in this moment.
Right.
And so I think it's more important for people to focus on love and choosing love in the now moment than to worry about 2012 or to obsess about what's going on with 2012. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, totally.
you know, I get sort of tired about 2012, and I've looked at the movies, and I go to the movies a lot. I like going to movies. They give me a read on popular culture.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of very negative movies about 2012 that are going to be released this year, and to me, I think that that's part of the mind control manipulation interference that goes on all the time on this very dysfunctional world we live in.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I really think that people would be better off to just focus on the now moment, because our souls are very, very gifted. I don't have to go outside my door to attract spiritual lessons to me. Spirit sends me an abundance of lessons, and that's exactly what I need to know at that given moment. It's the things that happen to me in the now. So.
Yes, yes, absolutely. In other words, the moment is your teacher. It is your guru, if you're being present to it.
Your guru is yourself. You are the source of your abundance. You are the source of your wisdom. You are an aspect of God. You are a child of God.
Okay.
You know, that is your source. I don't like the guru, teacher-student type of dynamic on the planet either. That's very dysfunctional for where we live now.
Well, yeah, I guess that just kind of, I would agree with that too, but that kind of slipped out. Feel free to correct me whenever I
Well, you just say these words that have very charged meaning to me because I've seen how
so does God.
Those words. So
I mean the word God. You mentioned that, and everybody, some people just bristle. You know, or the word prayer.
Yeah, when I say God, I'm talking about the energy, a creator, a source, whatever you choose to call that being.
Okay.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that's, people do get very charged by that word. That's true.
Yeah. So anyway, you developed the process. When did you begin doing your artwork, and how did you combine how do you combine the spiritual energy or the healing energies into your artwork? How does that work?
Okay, well, let's go back to the art. I was working I work on a lot of different levels with a lot of different types of energy. Basically, my spiritual gift is like my downloader. Pretty much anything I want to bring in, I can bring in. So I was working on a series of very serious enlightenment activations about awakening the creator God goddess within yourself. And then about 2 weeks after I did this was like in 2006, 2007, something
okay.
like that, like about 3 years ago. 2 weeks after I did that, I got, oh, you have to go to Michael's Art Supply today and buy art. You're going to begin painting. And, you know... You know, I always meditate. I begin each day by meditating and asking, what are the three or four most important things I need to do in the day? Most people fill their lives with activity that don't really matter. I try to focus on, like, I always started to ask, well, what are the most important things I need to do in the day? And then I try to get rid of them early on so that I can enjoy the rest of my day. It popped up, oh, you need to go to the art supply store. And I hate Michaels. I'm not a real crafty type of person. I'm certainly an anti-crafty type of person. So, you know, I said, Michaels, no. I don't want to go to Michaels. It has all that weird craft stuff and all this
right.
stuff about crafts and, you know.
Right.
And
colored cardboard. And...
So I said, do I really have to? And said, yes. So I went to, like, Michaels and, like, you know, I got this. I was, like, just stunned by all the different paints and stuff. I got really very overwhelmed by it. And, So I loaded up my shopping cart, filled it to the brim with all these beautiful acrylics and about 10 different types of paper. And then I was on my way out, and I saw that they had the finger paints, the tempera paints, on sale for like $1. So I abandoned my cart and got another cart and filled it to the brim with temperas. And for the first, like, 2 or 3 months, I just played with, played with acrylics and temperas and all sorts of things. And I had an idea of what it was about. You know, I thought it's like some new marvelous obsession that entered my life. And I did think horrible thoughts about my creator, God, goddess sequences, creator mastery sequences, or the void mastery sequences. I had very bad feelings, like, oh my God, like I do all this stuff and then I get stuck at doing these obsessive things. But anyway, and then I realized, like, after a couple of months of playing with them, I think I actually was studying the colors and the different types of paint and different types of paper. And how I could use that to encode things. It became another form of download. I was meditating one day, and then I realized, oh, this art thing, it's really just a form of sessions. Like, I'm used to downloading sessions and teachings and all that stuff. I do that all the time. That's what my gift is. I download stuff. At first, I thought the painting was just this weird obsession thing, and I didn't understand what role it had in the work I was doing. And then I looked at it one day, and I said, oh, this is just another form of downloads. This isn't a picture. It's really a healing session that's disguised to look like a picture so people will accept it. And one of my favorite things is I hate explaining what I do. So I love the art because I don't have to explain it. I create, like, each image I create, I write a statement of intent on the back, and I give it a title, and I write intent, and then I get into sort of the clear, prayerful, meditative type of space. And then I just... I'm sort of in a trance-like state, I would say, and I have hundreds and hundreds of bottles of paint, and then I just grab the paint and create. And I love that moment of creating, you know, and then once it's done, I want to move on to the next one because it's old history at that point. But, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It makes sense that, words, a lot of people work with light and color and sound. And it makes sense that words are symbols for things, and they're not the thing themselves. So,
well,
yeah,
colors are very healing. There's a lot of different types of healing that comes through in them. One is the statement of intent, and then the colors themselves have certain healing properties, and the guides and councils I work with have sort of imbued the paints I work with multidimensional, higher dimensional healing energies. You know, all the paint I get, like every time I create a new line of pictures or something, I end up going to the paint store. And as I look at the different paints, I can almost see, like, you know, the guys and councils I'm working with are looking at the energies I'm bringing forth and then trying to match them with the energies of the paint. And then the paper I use, it took me a while to find the exact right paper, and, you know, so that's one level of healing. And then as people look at the images, a lot of the images people really like, they're already strong in energetically, or the ones they're really drawn to are ones that they're working on those areas. The ones that people don't like usually means that they are in opposition. Their consciousness is in opposition to the images. So when they look at the images, it brings up stuff to be healed, cleared, and released in themselves. So there's a lot of different ways that healing is done in the images. And as you know, I'm beginning to create a whole series of books around the images. Because it feels to me like that's one of the easiest ways to shift people. You don't really have to do anything. I really think the future of healing on this planet is coming in through things like art, things like music. And, like, I went to, like, our art exhibit in St. Pete, like, a couple months ago, and there's so many beautiful glass artists. And almost all of them I look at are, like, heart healers, what I call heart paradigm healers. They're people who are helping people connect with their heart, with the love in their heart through the art and through glass. There's some really beautiful healing work being done through glass. And a lot of them are totally oblivious to, you know, that healing nature of the work that they're doing. Very interesting.
Wow. Now, you mentioned higher dimensions and so on. Can you help us to grasp a little bit more clearly your own understanding of what higher dimensions are and who is actually talking or communicating through those dimensions to us?
Well, I guess that's a very individual question. It really depends on who you're talking to or not talking to. I guess the way I view it is we are aspects of source creation, and I guess how I view it is I view my journey really as a journey of alignment with what I call the highest level aspect of my monad, which is the soul, what I call the soul of my soul. And I think that that aspect of ourselves exists in very, very, very high dimensions. And then, like, we try to bring in that energy or align our energies with that energy to the extent we can in a physical body on a 3D type of world like Gaia is. Does that help?
Yes, it does. That makes sense. And of course, if the Earth is shifting in dimension, then that would indicate that these are times when there's going to be some disturbance in the force as we experience that shift with her, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, absolutely. As the planet evolves and moves into more love, everything that is against love pops up to the surface to be healed, cleared, released. That's what's going on a lot in the world right now, the financial chaos. Like, I really view the stock markets and the gold, silver, commodities sort of markets as indexes of planetary fear at this point.
Uh-huh.
You know, and, you know, someone who teaches about abundance and works with abundance, I do find that it's so interesting that 40% of the world's wealth vanished in, you know, 6 months. And what does that tell us about how we really value wealth? Or anyway, but that's a side note. But I'm just using that as an example. It's a lot of the world's financial institutions and money and jobs and businesses are not coming from the heart. I think we're moving into an era where businesses will come from the heart. Heart-oriented businesses, heart-related businesses will begin to be the ones that grow. And most of the planet, we all get what I call wake-up calls. Like, when I was going through law school, I had a lot of wake-up calls that I really should get out of law school and do something different with my life. Did I heed them when they were small and, like, inconsequential? No, of course not. I blew them off, and then I got insomnia, and then I got unemployed, and then I got broke, and then I got back problems. You know, but I ignored or blew off a lot of wake-up calls. And I think humanity has been given a lot of wake-up calls that, you know, this isn't something that brings me joy anymore. And yet we keep doing it because the pain isn't strong enough to kick us out of, you know, that reality. You know, so I think the planet has set themselves up for a hard ride because people have ignored their wake-up calls. And now the wake-up calls are much more stronger. You know, people are losing jobs and money and, you know, and so many people identify with how much money they have in the bank. We live in such a weird world where, you know, the first thing we ask people are, what do you do? You know, what we do is such a small aspect of who we are. You know, we live in such a dysfunctional world on so many different levels, but, you know, that dysfunctionality cannot exist in the higher dimensions, so everything comes up for the planet to be healed, cleared, and released. And it's not going to be an easy process for most people, because people have ignored it when it was an easy thing to do, and now it's a hard thing.
It almost seems as if it will take, like you said, I watch the financials myself just out of curiosity, and I read a daily column by George Urey called Urban Survival, which is very entertaining, and it's supposed to be a financial column, but it really is a snapshot of the world each day, and pretty enlightened. And so what I see is that a very small percentage of people have set themselves up to tilt the game board in their favor and own everything. I mean, I think 93% of the world's population owns 97% of everything or something like that. It's pretty off balance. And it seems as if for us to get back on balance into heart-centered businesses and interrelationships, that the old paradigms are going to have to crumble somehow in order for the new to be born.
And isn't that what we've been going through in the last year, and it just keeps accelerating, Lance?
Yeah, yeah. And I think this year...
The other big thing I think here is one of the biggest reasons when I work with people, like when clients come to me for the first time, is we live in such a world that people have lost sight of who they really are. They're not living authentically to who they are. I mean, we live in a society where, you know, one of the first things we learn is yes, no. We learn in a society that if we want nice things when we're little, we have to please our parents. And then we end up pleasing teachers and pleasing ministers and pleasing doctors and give away our power. I mean, a lot of people are so out of touch with who they really are that it takes a crisis to get them to understand, oh, you're in a lot of pain. You know, and, You know, and it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like the drama that gays go through. You know, a lot of gays leave the closet because the pain of being in the closet is so much intense than being out of the closet. You know, and I think that's how people react to life, is when the pain gets really intense, then they change. But people, we pride ourselves on being able to handle stress well and pain well, and that's so dysfunctional because pain and stress are indications that your life is out of balance. And
absolutely,
you need to bring back balance into your life.
Absolutely true. And I'm glad you mentioned I'm not glad, but you did mention, you know, being gay as an example of something that caused a great deal of pain. And both my parents were at least bisexual. My mother was probably more tended towards being a lesbian. And I fought it for myself, being gay, I got married and thought that I could just shut it off like a faucet. And the pain became so great that I had to get divorced and acknowledge that, you know, that I was not, that was not my direction. And then it took something like 15 to 20 years of hating myself and fighting with it and sneaking around and feeling guilty to gradually shed the one layer after another of, you know, society's and everybody else's judgment.
And, you know, I think the world has been in emotional pain because they're not living authentically to themselves. And some people have to experience a lot of pain before it inspires them to change stuff. And, you know, we're talking about 2012, you know, like the planet... You know, definitely, we live in a very accelerated, a lot of stuff has to happen to, you know, to get caught up So it's just very interesting. It's very stressful for a lot of people. You know, and it's just very interesting to watch. I mean,
do you find that your clients are their problems are shifting with the day as the months pass? In other words, maybe a client that you might have had a year or two ago is experiencing something entirely different and much more dramatic at this time?
Well, I would say I'm very blessed, Lance. I have, like, some of the best clients in the world. I mean, I attract people who are highly evolved. I attract a lot of what you would call star seeds and light workers and healers and teachers. I thought when I began out healing years ago, I'd be healing for the masses, and I've never attracted masses to my work. I tend to attract very highly evolved people, and to some extent, you know, the clients I have are mirrors of myself. I have to work really hard to stay ahead of my clients. You know, and I think this is true of all the healers and clients and all the people that we work with, that they're in our lives because we're going through a lot of the same stuff. So one of the biggest interesting things my clients have is they almost are a huge empath, and they take on a lot of the stuff from other people and now a lot of the stuff from the planet. And, you know, one of the least joyful aspects of being on the spiritual path is when I began out on the spiritual path, I was so oblivious to so much stuff. Now I'm so sensitive to so much stuff, and, you know, each year the planet releases, like in the last 3 months of the year, it releases a lot of dense energy, and I almost always get really sick. Just describe, and I don't want that to happen in the future, and I'm not putting any creation energy around that, but, you know, and I find that each year I become more and more of what I call a planetary empath, and I think it's part of the process of growing spiritually on this time, but I say that that's one of the biggest challenges most of my clients have is the sensitivity. And how to handle the sensitivity to all the stuff that's going on in a planet that's evolving very rapidly. Most of my clients have done a lot of inner work. And almost all my clients have huge world contract services to help humanity with the shift. And it's just, you know, the biggest challenge I'd say I have and they have is how to take on, help to transmute that energy without taking it on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. In fact, you just described my problems. I was empathic as a child, and then many years I was oblivious to just about everything. Many years spent with addictions to this various substances. But now the problem is that I feel and sense everything on a planetary level, and it's becoming extremely painful on a daily basis. And so
that's one of the reasons why I tuned you for the Universal Clearing Profile, to give you a tool to help clear out some of that stuff that you're taking on.
Mm.
And, you know, the radio show you're doing, you activated World Service contracts to help introduce people on the planet to very interesting people like myself and your other guest visitors, I mean, who may or may not have a lot of public visibility.
True, and I have been so, like you with your clients, as you said, it seems like I've been gifted with some of the most beautiful souls on the planet, and, you know, honest to Pete, I have been gifted with talking to just the most beautiful people in the world, I think, and I'm hoping that, you know, the show reflects that and that people get a little bit of that, because this world has become so difficult to deal with. A quick question for you. Now, I have the healing tool that you gave me. What would you suggest for others who are starseed or light workers or empaths? We probably all have our own little tools and techniques, but what is a common shielding technique that you might suggest for people, that's a general general shielding technique that helps to keep
I'm really a believer in prayer and intent. You know, okay. I ask the Creator and I ask for help too. You know, so I would pray and set intent. On a practical level, like years ago when I felt a lot of psychic attack energy, it sounds very Wiccan, which I'm not at all Wiccan, but I used to write my name and address on a piece of white paper and put sea salt on it, and that would clear a lot of, like, weird energies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very simple type of thing. But in terms of, like, you know, I have a lot of tools now that I use, like things like the Universal Clearing Profile, and that's really why I created that self-help book, too, is to provide tools for people who don't really have access to tools, a way to help people who may not have tools to be able to clear stuff that comes up. But I think for each person, that's a very individualistic thing as to what works or what doesn't work for them. So I'm not sure that there is a real universal sovereign.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, each one of us has to find our own way and our own path. So that's important to remember, too, because we don't really want to end up following other people's...
I think another really good thing for people on the planet is to hang out more in nature. I mean, I find it tremendously grounding just to lay down on the grass and look at the sky.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
or to look at the beauty of a flower. Or, you know, I live close to the ocean. I'm very blessed. And in fact, that's why I moved to Florida, really, is to live close to the ocean. But, you know, I find that, like, if I get down or anything, I just go to the, I take a day off and go to the ocean and connect with the energy of the ocean. Some people like mountains. I like ocean. The ocean and sand and sun and all that energy is really good for me. But I really think that hanging out with nature is a really blessed gift for all of us. And it's a real easy way to bring us back into balance. Almost everyone I know has a favorite place that they like to go or a favorite activity they like to do outdoors. And I really find it very grounding myself, so...
I agree with you. I was born and raised in Santa Barbara, and of course we had access to the beaches, and it was almost 70 degrees year round. So I became kind of a beach bum most of my life, and I just love being by the ocean. I haven't been there for a while, and I really miss it being in the mountains. But I'm gifted and blessed there too because I'm surrounded by mountains, and I don't have street lights and. No wires hanging overhead, and at night it actually gets dark and you can see the stars. So yeah, that's very true. You notice the little blessings in, you know, even a bee flying by or a hummingbird at the feeder, you know.
When I've been going through really hard times, I really do like the idea of the gratitude journal where you write down the things in your life that you feel really blessed about. And when you feel in a darker place or heavier to go through and add some new things. I also think it's really important to connect with beauty. You know, I live in an apartment filled with beautiful things, and I find that beauty is very healing for me. Just looking at beautiful things is very healing. I don't think healing needs to be a complex thing or, you know, for some people it's a very complex thing, but, you know, for me healing is being receptive. When I work with a client, you know, I don't really try to do anything at all. I just try to hold the space of honoring for that person and to connect with Source and to ask Source for the healing. Healing doesn't really come from the healer. It comes from the person being healed and from the creator. I think it's so interesting. I've as a person who spent thousands and thousands of dollars and hours of going to healing workshops to learn how to do things, I really am sort of anti-healing in a way in that, you know, I think a lot of times we're really not supposed to do anything at all but to hold the space and to ask for help and to set the intent for healing.
That makes a great deal of sense. I like that, you know. It makes a lot of sense to me. I find that, you know, I tend to be my own best healer. And that doesn't mean that I can always be that. I mean, there are times when it is necessary to tell somebody, look, I need some help, or I could use a technique or a this or a that, and there's nothing to be ashamed about asking for help. And especially during these times when there's so much tension and shifting going on and so much coming to the surface to be released.
And I do find things like massages. I find massages are very helpful in releasing stuff that gets stuck in the body and stuff.
Mm.
You know, that's just like touch is a very important thing. Like if you don't have a partner or, you know, someone in your life, you know, like, you know, a lot of people, physical touch is a very important thing and a very healing thing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have someone in your life that can provide, maybe you go to a massage person and get massage like once a week. Or I think touch is really important at this time too.
Mm. Yes, I hadn't even thought about that, and I can't tell you how beneficial that would be for me to have a massage. It's been maybe 10 years, and you know, I'm at that point where it would just be, I would probably melt. And they'd have to scoop me up with a frying pan or something. I'd be all goo on the floor by the time they were done.
Yeah, well, I do find it really helping and really grounding and stuff. And it is something I try to do once a month. So.
Well, now, some of these techniques... you mentioned angelic mastery was one of the spiritual modalities that you work with. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, most of the work I do in terms of healing modalities is my passion life really is to, I really want to help people to be masters. The spiritual, you know, I'm not really big on spiritual growth for the sake of growth. I want people to help people to learn spiritual principles and techniques to make their life better. And a lot of my healing modalities, the focus has been on healing negative emotions, negative beliefs, negative past experiences. And I've brought in a lot of different sessions, like Practical Mastery has hundreds of sessions, and Angelic Mastery has hundreds of sessions. And I place a lot of those on videos. And my latest format in healing, I sent you some of my books, but I begin to encode a lot of... another resource for people is I have a YouTube website. On Bill Austin Art on YouTube that has a lot of activations and healing sessions. That's a really great resource. But on one of my websites, www.healingreikimaster.com/3.html, I have a whole list of like free healing sessions and activations and stuff for people as well.
Well, you're mentioning that. Could you mention all the websites that you have that people can find your work at? And I know it might take a while. You have about 4 or 5 websites, don't you?
Yeah, I tend to be prolific. In everything I do, I'm prolific. My main website, the one I began years ago, is Healing Holograms, www.healingholograms.com. And my newest one is energyhealingbooks.com, and that's where I'm putting all the books I'm creating. I have like 4 of them out, and then a children's book that I did with Maria Bowling, and within the next week I'm going to be adding 2 more, a feng shui book I did with Monica Castaneda, who's my graphics person. We're doing a series of feng shui healing books, and Maria Bowling and I, who's another very gifted healer and artist, did a great children's book called The ABCs of Color. Very pretty book.
Wow. Now, you mentioned that a lot of your clients are starseed and light workers, and that some have come here to help during the shift. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? I mean,
from your book, I know you know this. you know, a lot of people from highly evolved worlds have begun incarnating on Earth to help Earth to make that shift and humanity to make that shift. And, you know, the starseeds and the indigo children, and then the crystalline Christ children, and then the rainbow children. It just goes on and on. There are many, many millions of great masters who have incarnated on this world. Probably there are more masters incarnated on this world than there ever have been. And it's all to help Earth to shift to the higher dimensions and to help humanity to shift to those higher dimensions. A lot of people are here on the planet not to do anything but to raise children or to just hold the space that they may not even know that they have all these gifts.
Hmm.
And of course, a lot of it is, a lot of healers I see are heart paradigm healers, and Earth hasn't been in the heart paradigm, so they had all these healing gifts and frustrated, well, I want to heal, but I don't really feel drawn to do anything, and it's because we're in the mental paradigm, and it wasn't time for their gifts to come forth. It's beginning to be the time for people's gifts to come forth, so... it's going to be a very exciting time on the planet.
Well, I sure hope so, because it seems like, you know, there have been people that have been awake or a little, you know, in the awakening process. One of my the people in my group is 70-something, and he said that he awakened about 50 years ago, and there was nobody to talk to during the time because nobody else was awake. And he said now there's all kinds of groups, and he has his own group and so on and so forth. But, you know, I seems like many of us are getting a little bit shop-worn because it seems like we've been in the process of waiting for these magnificent shifts and changes and helping bring them about, and that they're taking forever, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think a lot of people have been very frustrated by that Earth hasn't shifted more quickly. I think Earth definitely, humanity could have shifted more quickly than it's chosen to do. But, you know, we all know what this planet is like, and we always know that humanity always chooses the hardest path. So why did we think that humanity would do it differently this time?
Yeah, good point. I love it.
That was just why every expectation we had on the spiritual plane. And, you know, and we all think that, like, on the spiritual plane, we all are such idiots in a way. We think, oh, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. And then we forget how dense this world is and how challenging and dysfunctional this world is. And a lot of people have fallen through the wayside. So it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of work has to be done and there are fewer hands to do it than anticipated because a lot of people weren't able to get where they needed to get to do what they needed to do.
Good point.
So people get weary because we're doing like twice what we really sort of wanted to do.
And then
we choose how much spiritual energy we come in with, and a lot of people didn't choose enough spiritual energy because, you know, one of the ideas of mastery is you do the most you can with the least amount of energy, and a lot of us underestimate how much spiritual energy we would need to bring in to do what we need to do. And there have been cataclysmic things like AIDS and stuff that I don't think we ever really quite anticipated would happen. Mm-hmm. There have been some very interesting developments that I don't think anyone really anticipated when we incarnated.
Well, I can sure tell you that was true for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, like you said, we choose the amount of energy, the soul energy that we bring in with us, and I think I must have underestimated by a few percentage points. But at least I'm still here, and I'm still working on myself, and... you know, trying to do
well,
something.
I think that we all, you know, humanity wasn't really expected to do the shifts that we did. Like 3 years ago, I got sideswiped by a car and like it killed my left shield, my left hand side mirror, and I was like so incredibly annoyed at the $500 it took to fix the stupid mirror. And I was complaining and bitching about it. And they said, well, you know, if Earth hadn't chosen to ascend, that would have been how you would have died. You know, a lot of us incarnate here, not really thinking humanity would really choose to ascend. You know, I would probably be a multimillionaire lawyer touring the world and eating bonbons, you know, right now. You know, living on a stock market portfolio.
Right,
you know, my life got totally rearranged by the decision to ascend because it placed me on a spiritual path where, before, I would probably die 3 or 4 years ago in a car accident and been a very, very wealthy person and had a really wonderful last 5 years touring the world instead of, like, in the trenches doing healing and spiritual work. So, you know, so none of us really quite expected it. At least the Indigos and Crystal and Christ children knew a little bit more about what was going to happen with this world when they incarnated.
True. And they do try to tell other people, and then, of course, a lot of them get quieted because they are, this has changed a lot, but many of them have been quieted by antidepressants and various drugs for bipolar and so on and so forth. But
yeah.
I think
because they're not really understood and their gifts aren't understood. And, you know, so often a lot of my clients, you know, a lot of people incarnate here just to be parents of kids, a lot of women incarnate on this planet. You know, and like I have quite a few of them who are clients, and, you know, they come to say, well, what's my path? And, you know, a lot of times it's to be the caretaker of your children. And, of course, a lot of them want to do more stuff, you know. But, you know, that's such an important thing is to raise children so they're raised as pure to their vibration as they can be, because they're the ones who will really change this world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, you know, this has been such a great conversation. This hour has flown by faster than a heartbeat. Before we go, would you mention again where people can find your books and your artwork and sign up for your free, I get
sure.
you
Sure. If you go to www.healingreikimaster.com, there's a link there for free stuff. Or you could go to the energyhealingbooks.com site as well.
Wonderful. Well, Bill, I want to thank you for being on the show. I had a wonderful time with you, and I learned a lot, as I always do with all my guests, and I hope that the listeners, who are all my friends, enjoyed you as much as I did.
Well, I was terrified, and I couldn't speak very much, but I tried.
Oh, you did fabulous. You were great.
You be good, Lance. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and enjoy your weekend, and thank you, everybody, for being here and for sharing this time with both of us. Good night, Bill, and good night to all the listeners.